Hare Krishna. I am feeling very grateful to be with all of you this evening. My special gratitude to Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirukula Mataji, for so kindly welcoming me into their beautiful family of devotees, for their kindness to me, and for allowing me to serve in such a special way as tonight. We are performing a ceremony of initiation. Our beloved founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada would begin each such ceremony with this Vedic verse, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Yasmaret Pundarikaksham Sabhayabhyantara Suchi. This particular verse not only encapsulates the very essence of the purpose of initiation, but the very purpose of human life. The translation is, whether one is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all situations in life, one who remembers the beautiful, lotus-eyed, supreme personality of Godhead becomes purified both within and without. Purification is the essential purpose of every great spiritual path. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksha jay ahoyita ki aprahiyata. This verse from the Bhagavatam explains that the supreme occupation for all humanity is loving service to the Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to actually satisfy the self. What is everyone looking for? Everyone is looking for full happiness, deep, unending pleasure. And everything we see in this material existence is in a manifestation of different ways, different humans and other species are striving for that pleasure. Every insect, every bird, every tree, every squirrel, and other types of animals. Why are they there? Because someone was looking for pleasure. And through this pleasure comes procreation and offspring. Yes? The animals don't usually plan families, nor do the fish. But they're looking for pleasure. And there's a pleasure in that interconnection between sexes. And from that comes all these different species. In every house, in every shop, in every article that's ever been invented, it's a product of people looking for pleasure. Either through shelter, through nourishment, through relationships, looking for security, looking for pleasure through fame and prestige, trying to make money for pleasure. Recently I was with someone, 67-year-old man, extremely wealthy man. He was associated with many of the most famous people in the whole world. And he told me all his life he had only had one thing on his mind, how to make money. But now, when he's old, he said, I don't care anything for money anymore. Everything I've ever done has disappointed me because where is the pleasure I've been looking for? Now I just want to find something spiritual. I want to find God. But the reality is everything you look at is a product of either people or other species seeking pleasure or trying to avoid what interferes with pleasure, which is pain. That's the whole cosmic manifestation. God provides the earth and all the resources, and then we just trying to find some pleasure in it, and all kinds of other creations are developed. So Ananda Mayobhyashat, we are essentially pleasure-seeking. But this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam tells that the real pleasure, the only pleasure that actually satisfies the soul, the Atma, is the pleasure of love. Love is expressed through service. And that service only touches the heart and the soul when it is unmotivated by any selfish interest and uninterrupted by any circumstance that may come. That is real love. It seems very unattainable, so high. But actually, it is our nature. It is our essence. It is who we have always been, who we are, and who we will always be. It is the energy of the soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhi Chaiti Kodiye Udoi. This means that this unmotivated, uninterrupted love, which is the source of unlimited pleasure, it is within the heart of every single living being. Wherever there's life, wherever there's consciousness, is the presence of what Prabhupada called the living force, the soul. And that soul is by constitution Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of ecstasy. That ecstasy is the love of God within us. What we are groping for, what we are struggling for, through endless efforts, birth after birth after birth, is within ourselves. Only one thing is required: purification. To see it. Srila Prabhupada gave a simple example that when water falls from the cloud, it's transparent. When it comes in contact with the earth, it mixes with dirt and becomes muddy. Muddy water loses its transparent quality. You can't see the water anymore. All you see is the mud. Water is transparent. Now, how do you bring water back to its original nature? You purify it. You filter it. What that means is you take out what's not water from what is water. You take out all the dirt stuff. And when all the dirt's gone, and all that's left is the pure water, transparent. So our consciousness is pure. But due to the ego, ahankar, due to forgetfulness of our true nature and what we really need, and essentially due to our forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna, the all-beautiful, all-attractive, all-loving, supreme ocean of mercy, Maya's dictation just drags us like puppets. And the strings of the three modes of nature just drags us searching and searching and groping and struggling and dying for some sort of pleasure. Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. The chanting of the holy name is compared to the cleansing of the mirror of the heart. When you look in a mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. But when the mirror is covered with dirt, all you see is the dirt. And because you're looking in the mirror, you're thinking you're seeing yourself, but actually you're thinking that you're the dirt. We're laughing, but that's the way everyone is. That's the way we are. We're thinking we're all this dirt. I'm a man, or I'm a woman, I'm a human being, I'm an Indian, or American, or a Pakistani, or an Israeli, or a Palestinian, or an African. I'm rich or I'm poor, I'm young, I'm old. This is I. And then when we have all these misconceptions of who I am, than endless misconceptions of what is mine, my family, my home, my nation, my religion. And because of all of these attachments to misconceptions, there's so much conflict between us. Because there's nothing really true or deeply meaningful to unite for. Srila Prabhupada explains, you may be a nationalist, but if you're thinking of your enemy all the time, you may take your birth as a nationalist in your enemy's country. And you may be a politician and building all kinds of weapons to defeat them, and then you take birth and all those weapons come and get you. Where is the real harmony? Unless we actually understand the spiritual platform of who we really are and who everyone else is in connection to Krishna, to God, there can be no stable or real unity amongst us. Because in this world, everything is always changing. But when the mirror of the mind is cleansed, then we see ourselves for who we are. Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We're part of Krishna. And when we realize that we're a part of Krishna, we realize Krishna. Krishna's all attractive. We chanted this beautiful sloka, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate. It's very meaningful. Hey is crying out deeply from the heart. When Draupadi was being stripped by Dushasana in the assembly of the Kauravas, she didn't just go, Krishna Govinda. She was in absolute desperation. With her heart, her soul, there was no other shelter. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda. Emphasis, she's calling out with great, emphatic intensity. She's crying, hey Krishna, hey Govinda. So this means a sense of real need when we actually feel the word, hey Krishna. We're putting ourselves in a sense of deep need. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he had 7 days to live, he didn't just listen to Bhagavatam. He wasn't falling asleep. It wasn't just some pious activity. It wasn't to learn some verses so he could quote them and sound like a good scholar. It was with deep personal need. I'm going to die in 7 days. I have no other shelter but Krishna. Hey, Krishna. Karuna Sindhu. Karuna means kindness, compassion. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, when there is love of God within the heart, when it extends to people outside of our own body, when it goes outward, that love in this world, it manifests as compassion, karuna. A self-realized soul is explained to be paradukaduki. This is what kindness means. Some people are kind, they do you a favor, they do a pious deed, give some charity. Oftentimes it's for the purpose of getting some tax relief. Other times it's to get some prestige of being very charitable. Many charitable people, they're giving in charity, they're really charitable to themselves because they know they'll get a good reputation and more people will buy their product and they'll make more money. Being charitable is actually a good business sense. But real compassion is paradukaduki, where when we see someone suffering, we feel that suffering ourselves because we love that person. We really care about that person. Great personalities, they feel the sufferings of others, and their happiness is to see the happiness of others. Srila Prabhupada, that was his unparalleled exalted quality, his compassion. Driving here, Vaisheshika Prabhu was explaining this principle to us. Just imagine, 70 years old, 38 days in a cargo ship. Within the first 10 days, he had several heart attacks. Intense seasickness. No medical help, no medicine, no doctors. Cargo ship. It happened over the Arabian Sea. And after his heart attacks, the ship was going up and down with every wave. And Prabhupada, he said, when he looked out in the ocean, you really can feel your insignificance. You're just on this little old beaten down ship. And all around, in all directions, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, is just the sea. And every wind is pushing you this way, and every wave is pushing you another way. It's like a little matchstick just floating around, and you happen to be inside of that. And then somehow he arrived in New York City, and shortly after that he had a stroke. He was living in poverty. He was robbed of everything he had. He was getting death threats. He was calling people from India to help him, and everyone just said, come back, it's useless. You can't do it. Why should we invest men or money or any help in something that can't be done? Just come back. He got no encouragement from anyone except about 40 years before his guru told him to do it. That was his only encouragement. His guru in his heart, echoing, you are an intelligent young man. He was 25 at the time. When he was 25 years old in Calcutta, his first meeting with his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. You are intelligent, young man. Take this message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world. Teach it in the English language. That was his only encouragement. Everyone else discouraged him. His godbrothers, his friends, his well-wishers in India. All the people of the West, the environment, his own body. First winter in New York, Prabhupada, he never saw snow before. He woke up one morning and thought the city painted everything white. Then someone told him it's snow, and he thought, oh, snow. He went out and touched it. First time he ever contacted snow. And he didn't have warm clothes. When his son, Vrindavan Chandra Day, I was just with him a couple months ago in his house in Calcutta, and he likes to tell me he saw his father off on the Jaladut, and no one came except his son and four other almost strangers, because no one thought it was possible. He just had an umbrella and a bag of cereal. And a set of clothes, and a box of books, some boxes of books. Prabhupada came off the ship, he looked right, he looked left. He didn't know if anyone was going to be waiting for him or not. It was totally strange land. He had no money, 40 rupees, but you can't change rupees in America in those days. So he had nothing. Could you imagine being 70 years old, not knowing if anyone's going to be there for you? You get off a ship, you have nowhere to go, and you have nothing. And he looked right and left and didn't see anyone. But he said, but I had the order of my Guru Maharaj, and I had my box of books. So I felt no fear. I knew I would be successful. I have these books to give people. And then the trials were just beginning. Why? Because he felt such love, such compassion. He felt the pains of all these millions and millions and billions of people. He didn't even know directly on a physical level. It's like when you see in the obituary, when one of my godbrothers told me yesterday that his mother's in the late 80s, and she was looking at, what is it called, obituary? She was looking at, you know, where it tells who died. And he said, what are you looking at? She said, I just want to see if I'm going to be able to have my bridge game today. Oh, really? She was serious, because, you know, that's the way you find out if your friends have died or not. If you don't see their name there, that means the game's on. you see their name, you understand it's not going to happen. Well, I was just talking to someone and they were saying, you know, you can read it, but it doesn't really affect you unless you know somebody. When you know somebody, if it's a relative or a dear friend, it really goes to your heart. It's very painful. But Srila Prabhupada, he never met a single person from America or Europe in his life. Why is he risking his life and going through all of this for us? Because he loved us. He felt for us. Paradukaduki. His happiness is our happiness. His suffering is our suffering. Like that. That is love. That is a symptom of love of God. And it was that compassion that is the foundation and the only qualification that all of us have to receive this matchless gift of pure bhakti. In fact, it was that groundbreaking sacrifice of unlimited compassion that opened the door for everybody in the entire Western world, today and in the future, to ever receive pure bhakti in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains that one drop of real love of God, one drop of that ecstatic love for God, can drown an entire universe. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. Krishna is an ocean of that compassion. Not like this little puddle close by called the Pacific Ocean. Salty little puddle. This ocean of karuna, of kindness, that Krishna possesses, it has no bottom and it has no shores. It is an unlimited ocean. And one drop from that ocean can drown an entire universe in ecstatic love. That is Krishna's kindness. This is God. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Jaladuta, he taught us what real compassion is. In his prayers, he expressed total humility. I have no capacity to reach these people that I'm going to. Only if you help me, only if you give me the words, only if you give me the power, just make me your puppet and make me dance as you want me to dance. If we can just be a puppet in love, then we can access that ocean of love coming from Krishna. Satyadeva Prabhu was enlightening us on the way here that Krishna is the Adi Guru. He's the original Guru. And what is Parampara? The Parampara system is connecting us through pure compassionate saints throughout the ages directly to Krishna. Krishna instructed Brahma, Narada, Vyas, Madhva. And when Krishna appeared in this age of Kali as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally accepted initiation, and not only initiation in formality, but initiation in spirit, just to show us. God comes in the role of a devotee to teach us how to love Krishna. Krishna knows best how to make him happy. And he teaches us. That's what the holy scriptures are. And who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Not only because scriptures can be interpreted in so many ways, can be misunderstood, which they usually are. So the Lord personally comes himself to teach us how to practically follow the essence of the scripture. And he made it so simple. Trinadapi suniche naturo ivasishna. Be humble, be tolerant. Worship Krishna as the supreme, all-loving, all-merciful person, and chant his holy names in the spirit of being a servant of the servant of the servant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu served his guru, massaged his feet, cooked for him, washed his plate, washed his utensils, and he served his own devotees. He would wash their clothes. He would carry loads for them. He would sometimes perform the most menial services to his own devotees, and even to the people in general. This is God himself showing us what it means to be great. What it means to be great doesn't mean to try to be a master. It means to really give one's heart and soul to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And such a person is qualified to be worshipped as a master. So this line of parampara is recommended in Gita, evam parampara prapta. And Srila Prabhupada was in that spirit. Recently I was in the Lower East Side of New York City, Manhattan. There at 26 Second Avenue, one devotee, just day before yesterday, told me a story. Madhusudan Prabhu. He was there in 26 Second Avenue in 1966. He explained how Prabhupada would cook for all the devotees. And then he would wash everyone's plates. And he would wash all the pots, everything. And one day, you know, there was a big feast and all the devotees came and they enjoyed and then they all just left and Prabhupada was left with everything to clean up. And Madhusudan said, you know, can I help you? And Prabhupada said, oh, I was praying to Krishna that someone would ask. So he was side by side with Prabhupada scrubbing pots. Prabhupada's 71 years old now. These people are teenagers or in their early 20s. And they're going out and enjoying after Prabhupada cooks all day and leaves it for him. And Prabhupada didn't complain. He was happy. He was ecstatic just to serve. But why was he praying for someone to ask? Not so that there wouldn't be such a load on him. Because he wanted to share the supreme nectar of having other people relishing the greatest of all benedictions, the chance to serve God, and to serve others in devotion to God. This world, so much greed, so much envy, so much arrogance, so much illusion. Ecologically, economically, socially, mentally, so much depression. How to deal with it? Just a couple weeks ago, I was in New York at Columbia University, and they asked me to speak on what they told me is a very crucial topical subject for the students. How to cope with the quarter life crisis. I never heard of it. They told me the subject while we were driving to the university. Because they wanted me to give a lecture. I get in the car, and they're driving me, and as we're turning a corner, I just happened to ask, you know, is there a subject? What would you like me to speak on? It said, oh, it's been advertised. How to cope with the quarter-life crisis. I said, what is a quarter-life crisis? They said, you heard of a midlife crisis? Yeah, I heard of midlife crises. I know a lot of people with that. Well, now it's like an epidemic. Quarter-life crisis. And then they started showing me these articles. These articles were really serious articles about people, how it was affecting people traumatically. They just didn't know where to go in their life, what to study, what to do, who to be with, who to marry, who to not marry, what career I want to go into, what I don't want to go into, where I want to live, where I don't want to live, who my friends are, who my friends shouldn't be, and what's the purpose of life? Such confusion. And due to a very weak foundation of truth that we're building our life upon, people are so frail emotionally, mentally, to the situations around them. Mental illness, depression. People taking drugs, alcohol, just to cope with the world around them. And now we have all these nice nuclear bombs all over the place. Terrorism, wars, What does this world need? It needs Karuna Sindhu. It needs an ocean of compassion, an ocean of mercy. And Prabhupada embodied that. He traveled around the world 13 times giving people the opportunity to love God. And Krishna is always there within our heart. That ocean, that unlimited, fathomless, bottomless, shoreless ocean of love and kindness is living forever right beside us in our heart. He never leaves us, no matter what we do. Even if we're the worst, most terrible, gruesome demons, he's still right there waiting for us. What kind of kindness is that? Suhrida sarva bhutanam. Krishna is the best well-wishing friend of all living beings. Now, if somebody betrays you, blasphemes you, rejects you, year after year after year, are you still there by his side as a friend? But how many spirit souls have been doing that to Krishna since time immemorial? And yet, always right there in the heart, just waiting, just come. All you have to do is turn toward me. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, just come. I'll give you everything. I'll give you liberation from all sufferings. I'll give you the highest, most sweet pleasure of love, what you're always looking for. Just come. I'm here. That's Krishna. All attractive. Srila Prabhupada knew Krishna. He saw Krishna. He felt Krishna. He wanted to connect us to Krishna. And therefore he established this movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, exclusively for that purpose. So this initiation ceremony is to sincerely commit ourselves to be instruments of that compassion of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, and to really connect ourselves to that ocean of mercy. And the most direct and effective method of making that connection is the chanting of the holy names. Nam Namakari Bahudani Jasarva Shaktis. All the powers and all the glory of God is within the name of God. By simply chanting God's name, we can make that connection. The Lord who is not different than his name, with all that ocean of mercy is in every syllable of Krishna and Radha's names. But according to our intent, according to the spirit of our service attitude, we can access that infinite grace in the holy name. So basically, Lord Chaitanya's process is so simple. Just be pure in character. Cultivate this attitude of being the servant of the servant of the servant with all humility and chant Hare Krishna. You will attain perfection. We follow these regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meeting, just not to throw any more dirt in the water of the consciousness as we're purifying it while we chant the holy names. And if we just stop throwing dirt and keep purifying with Harinam, Vaishnav Seva, Bhagavad Katha, then very quickly, very rapidly, we can discover the great treasure within us. Here in this beautiful little temple, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirukul Devi Prabhu have really given their hearts, their lives, their everything to be instruments of that ocean of mercy coming down through Prabhupada and our great acharyas. And I cannot tell you how much joy and gratitude floods my heart when I see all of you receiving the love and kindness of this divine couple. When I speak with Vaisheshika Prabhu, he doesn't just do what he does because he's supposed to do it. He feels it. It's interesting because In the impersonalistic schools, the goal of life is detachment from everything. But in the path of bhakti, the goal of detachment is total attachment. Does that make sense? The perfection of detachment is total attachment. We detach ourselves from what is unfavorable for devotion to God so that we can be totally attached to that reservoir of all beauty, that ocean of kindness, Krishna. And to the degree we're attached to Krishna, we naturally become detached from all egoistic pursuits and identities. And to the degree we become detached from all these things, we can become attached to Krishna. But attachment to Krishna, when it manifests as compassion, is attachment for people's welfare. That's not material attachment. When you really care about somebody, when you really want to help them, when you really feel from them, where you're willing to give your life for people, to bring them to God, to Krishna, that attachment is a pure spiritual expression of love. And that is what's happening here. This great attachment to help all of you. I know he's had offers to go other places, but he's so attached to helping all of you. The two of them are right here. And I'm just so grateful to see how people are coming forward and receiving their help, receiving their kindness, receiving Prabhupada's love through them in such a special way. And I thank all of you very much for that. At this time, I would like to request Vaisheshika Prabhu to say some words to inspire this initiation ceremony.
Krishna says that he remains neutral, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha. And if someone turns towards him, then he gives his special protection. But it's the devotees of the Lord who carry Krishna or love for Krishna within their hearts and freely distribute it to others, actually intervening in their lives, divine intervention on behalf of Krishna. And therefore, we can only get Krishna's unlimited compassion through his devotees. Yudhishthir Maharaj told Vidura, Bhavadida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayambibo Tirtha Kuravanti Tirtani Swantakstengadabrita. He said, you're actually a walking Tirtha because you carry Krishna within your heart. And everywhere you go, everyone has an opportunity to see Krishna through you, to connect to Krishna through you. And Shastra says that one's life can be changed. One can be free from the eternal cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease and become perfect even by a moment's association with such a devotee who carries love for Krishna in his or her heart. So the ceremony today, although performed as ritual, is not ritual for ritual's sake, but it is being performed in the presence of a pure Vaishnava. And because of that, it is meaningful. Krishna doesn't accept our service exactly directly, but he takes it when we're the servants of the servants of the servants. And when we become the servant of the servant, then especially that's pleasing to Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, it's not so much what we know, but who we know. I've told you before, but I once saw a shirt. Somebody was wearing a shirt that said, "A good lawyer knows the law, and a great lawyer knows the judge." When Raghunath Das Goswami approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter, he said, "Your shelter is Swarup Damodar. You'll become the Raghunath of Swarup. That's your shelter." In his very presence, he established that. So I'm especially happy and gratified when I see the sincere souls who are surrendering their lives through the process. They're Rupanugas, they're following the process, they're following Srila Prabhupada, serving, giving their lives and hearts, and now to come under the shelter of a real Vaishnav. That is significant. That's the real connection to Krishna. And we solemnize that intention and that act of the devotees taking shelter by this ceremony today. There's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Tikshakali Bhaktakari Atmasamarpan Shekali Krishnakari Tari Atmasam. And it means that on the initiation day, actually, when one fully gives oneself and surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna accepts that person to be as the same as himself, as good as himself. So this is a momentous occasion. It is a universe-changing occasion when we have in our presence a bona fide spiritual master by dint of his complete surrender to his spiritual master, who is giving shelter to those who would give their entire life for Krishna's service in the proper way by following what Krishna has asked and how Krishna has asked for them to surrender. Hare Krishna. And thank you very much, Maharaj, for keeping us alive by your association. Hare Krishna.
I just want to be a little fish swimming in the ocean of your kindness. Would you like to please say something, Mataji?
Feel like maybe how you felt when when you turned the corner and asked what the subject. It's always a great blessing when Raghunath Swami comes and visits ISV. It's something we look forward to with great anticipation, and it's very enlivening, just the thought of Maharaj coming. And so we're very grateful that that you make this a stop here. And on such an auspicious day, where devotees are making vows in front of the deities, in front of the devotees, and in front of the fire, and in front of their guru, I feel very fortunate to be here, to hear the words spoken from the mouth of such a pure devotee, and to be in all of your association. Hare Krishna.
So today, Prabhu,
I'm speechless. Getting old, now 59, we're the same age, and just when we were riding in the car together, talking about our beginnings in Krishna consciousness. And I'm thinking so many years have passed since Srila Prabhupada came to New York and out of his great compassion began this movement. And what enlivens me the most now is to see the younger generation connecting to Srila Prabhupada and continuing his mission. There's the force of Maya is so strong, but Krishna is stronger. And there's always this battle going on between the demons and Krishna, and sometimes it looks like the demons have the upper hand. And watching this movement go forward, this movement is Krishna. And there are strong forces that want to keep everyone in darkness and want to keep the light from manifesting in this world. And I just feel very enlivened when I have the association of my advanced god brothers like Vaisheshika Prabhu and Radhanath Swami, and seeing that Srila Prabhupada's mission is being carried on by them, and that those young devotees are coming forward to surrender their lives and continue this tradition and continue to be lights in this world of darkness. And I feel that every day is a battle, and today Krishna's win. Ultimately, Krishna always wins, but it's always back and forth. And I'm very happy for you, your fortunate souls, that Maya tried her best. She'll keep trying, undoubtedly, but in spite of all odds, you've come to Srila Prabhupada, you've come to Radhanath Swami, and you've come to Lord Chaitanya. And you have this opportunity to get out of this darkness and also to be the light for others. And I feel very fortunate to be here in the association of all the exalted devotees. And I also have stayed in Krishna consciousness another day, somehow or other, by the mercy of my God brothers.
Thank you, Prabhu. The vows we take are cementing our sacred connection through our Guru Parampara to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan. We vow to chant the holy names according to our Acharya's prescribed method, at least 16 rounds every day. And we should be very careful to guard against the 10 offenses to the holy name. If we can just chant the holy name without offense, we become liberated. If we can just chant the holy name even once, purely, then love of God awakens within our heart. So we should very carefully guard against the 10 offenses. Everyone at this time together, if we can recite the 10 offenses to the holy names together. To blaspheme the Lord, independent of the names of Lord Vishnu, disobey the orders of the spiritual master, make the Vedic literatures of the pursuant to the Vaishnava, the imagination, the mundane interpretation of the holy names of the Lord. Several activities on the strength of the heart of the Holy Name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proclaimed, if we take This verse, Trinadabhi Sunichena Taror Ibasihishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, to be humble like the grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect respect for oneself. We can chant the holy name constantly. In other words, by just applying this principle, automatically we cannot commit any offenses. So the Lord said, take this verse, put it on the string of the holy name, and wear it always. In other words, to really be the servant of the servant of the servant. Would you like to come up and take your vows? Thank you very much. Everyone, please pray for Krishna's blessings to be upon this gentleman. On behalf of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, I'm very honored to offer you the name Prajendra Kumar Das. Shri Govinda Dutt Prabhu will be taking second Brahminical initiate. Thank you, Prabhu.